Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody. And everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Oh, Ken is away today, by the way. He'll be back tomorrow. 20 minutes. We've got a special keyword. You could win $1,000. And we're on from 1 to 4 every day. And if you miss... at 4 o'clock, you can listen to the podcast, same show. And you go to the iHeartRadio app for that, or KFIAM640.com, either way. We go now to Echo Park Lake. I spent the last segment laying out this story. You may remember back in March of 2021, they removed almost 200 vagrants from the park who'd been living there quite some time and fouling the place. And finally, Mitch O'Farrell, the former councilman, under pressure, cleaned it up along with the LAPD. There were a lot of activists screaming. There were a lot of arrests the night that they evicted the campers. And they put a fence up. And it's been, the fence has been up since then, although it's been knocked down several times. And now the new socialist communist councilman, Hugo Soto Martinez, says the fence is going to come down for good. And this doesn't sound like it's a good thing for the neighborhood, but we're going to talk to one of the residents who he had on frequently 2 years ago, Riley Montgomery. Let's get him back on the air here. Riley, how are you?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me back.
Well, what's the state of Echo Park Lake? What's happening here?
Well, right now, Echo Park Lake looks beautiful. It's a nice place for families, children, people of all ages to enjoy and utilize. And right now it's very safe. There's very little crime. And it's been a great place since Mitchell Farrell put up that fence to keep it safe from encampments starting up again.
How does the fence keep out the encampments, but it doesn't keep out the neighbors, the neighborhood?
Well, the fence that surrounds the park has multiple entrances, so you can access the park very easily from, I think, 5 different entrances. So anyone can have access to the park. The fence isn't about keeping people out. It's about preventing someone from having access to setting up housing in the park, setting up encampments.
Right. The entrances are not wide enough for people to drag in their tents and their...
Well, the
shopping
entrances
carts
are closed up at night. So.
Oh, okay, I see. Well, what's wrong with that?
And, you tell me. Everyone's been asking the same thing. I do have some interesting things to talk about regarding that. So Mitchell Farrell commissioned a survey that was sent out to all local residents around the lake. And that survey was regarding if they would support having a fence permanently around the lake, or at least keeping the existing fence until a nicer fence was put in. And that survey was completed in October. And currently, Hugo Soto Martinez has the results of the study, and he's holding on to it, and he's not releasing it to the public. And Hugo isn't responding to any constituents that have emailed him or called him. He's not letting anyone know what the results of the survey are.
Yeah, that's the Mike Bonin playbook. That's what you have there.
Yeah, exactly. And Mike Bonin got voted out pretty substantially, so I don't know why he's trying to use that same playbook, but it's to appease these, DSA activists who don't even live in the neighborhood.
Do people in Echo Park Lake understand the threat of the Democratic Socialists of America, and Hugo Soto Martinez is a member? Have they seen their websites and what they stand for?
Well, I think one of the problems is Echo Park, the neighborhood of Echo Park is a working class neighborhood. Like, yes, it has been gentrified slightly, but everyone who lives in Echo Park, you know, they work all day. So they don't really have the same amount of time to browse Twitter and browse the news. And a lot of them, I've talked to a lot of people who live around here, and they don't even know what the DSA is. So it's kind of almost an insidious threat, because it feels like almost like they're trying to set up an autonomous zone, like what happened in Atlanta recently or in Portland. It feels like they're trying to colonize public space to use for these autonomous zones. And the saddest part is the people that work all the time, they don't know what's happening.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's the same group, or it's an affiliated group with the same philosophy. That's what they want to do, is they want to have a zone where anybody can live out in public and engage in any kind of behavior imaginable. That's not an exaggeration. I mean, they say it pretty much on their websites. That's, I guess, yeah. He got in, and now they're realizing what he's about, huh?
Yeah, and also the problem is CD13 is a large area. It encapsulates parts of Los Feliz and Silver Lake, and a lot of the people that live in Silver Lake that are more wealthier and more richer don't want homeless in their area, and they would rather people that are homeless be in Echo Park versus in those areas. And we see a lot of these activists that are mostly younger white kids are coming from Silver Lake. They're coming from Los Feliz. They have rich parents. I've talked about that before. So they're fine with Echo Park being used for their experiment, because it won't affect them.
Yeah, that is a strange phenomenon, these rich white kids who've gone anarchist, really.
Yeah, exactly. So what I am aware of is that Hugo is planning on bringing down the Echo Park Lake fence on the anniversary of the lake cleanup, which will be around March 21st.
And then the homeless are going to march back in with their tents and shopping carts and bicycles?
Yes. It will turn into a disaster, possibly worse than the time before that. So I'm urging every constituent of CD13 that's concerned about the lake becoming a complete autonomous zone to call Hugo's office. His number is 213-207-3015. And I highly recommend calling in. No one's been able to get a hold of him. He seems to be even more useless than Yitin Rahman or even Unices. But if you can try, call in, show up to his office. I don't know, do what you can. See if the constituents, if you really care about this neighborhood, call in and try to stop him from doing this. And ask for the results of the survey to be released.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many people would vote for a 200-person homeless encampment at Echo Park Lake, because that is a beautiful park when it's cleaned and they regulate entry.
It's one of the nicest parks in all of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And the people of L.A. deserve to have that park. It deserves to be for families.
There's nothing that these Democratic Socialists will not foul. They actually revel in taking down whatever people enjoy in American life.
Yes, they revel in chaos, and they revel in destroying society. We saw how they showed up to Tracy Park in CD11. They showed up to her home. They're harassing her, and Tracy Park, honestly, has housed more people in the first 4 weeks of her tenure than Mike Bonin did in all of 8 years.
Yeah.
So just look what happens when you vote for real people.
That's the thing. It's not about homelessness. It's about creating the chaos, because the Democratic Socialists did go to Tracy Park's house to do a protest. I saw pictures and video of that. And she is putting more homeless people inside than anybody else on the council. But that's not their goal. Their goal is to is the chaos, to ruin our way of life.
Yes.
And that is so bizarre. People, I don't think, can wrap their minds around it, that that's really what's going on. It sounds like I'm being hyperbolic and exaggerating and being crazy. I'm not. That if you just read their own material, you'll see that's where they're going. And they have direct connections to Antifa.
Exactly. And one of the things that blew my mind and woke me up to the whole thing was when we started building tiny home communities in Echo Park that would get people in safe communities that have security, that provide food, that provide access to healthcare workers. And the same DSA activists were telling people not to accept that shelter because it's not a permanent house. That, you know, as if providing every single person a permanent $1 million home will fix homelessness when they have mental health issues and they have drug addiction.
That's the game.
That's not how it works.
That's the game they've been playing for years. When the city makes an effort to try to get these people temporarily relocated, the activists go in there and say, no, don't go with them. Hold out for permanent housing, which isn't coming. Because it's not doable.
If I could wave a magic wand and create, 60,000 brand new houses that would appear out of nowhere, that would magically cure everyone from mental health issues and addiction, then I would do that. But I have to live in the real world where that's not going to happen. And what happens when this fence comes down is the activists and the DSA move back in, they colonize the park, they take it away from families, they take it away from the working class, and they turn it into a place filled with crime and terror. And that is what's going to happen in March if people don't stop Hugo from doing this.
All right. We will stay in touch with you, Riley. Let us know how this progresses. There's about 6 weeks, I guess, or 7 or 8 weeks to stop this. So we're on your side.
Thanks,
we'll help
John,
you out any
it.
Way you need. Riley Montgomery.
Hey, thank you.
Okay. He's a resident who's trying to fight for what? The right for normal taxpayers to use the local park and enjoy the lake. Talk more on this coming up, because this is all over the city and has been for a while now. And everyone's got to be aware of that. We've got a really, really toxic force inside government that wants to ruin anything good about Los Angeles in Southern California. John and Ken show. All right, so we just finished talking with Riley Montgomery, who's a resident of Echo Park Lake, and he was on with us a lot 2 years ago. And this is your official warning around the city. The Democratic Socialists of America are coming back. They now have 3 seats on the city council. They also have infiltrated other offices. They're chief of staff or their advisor of some kind. And their role is to cause anarchy in Los Angeles. If you don't think it can happen, look at what happened in Seattle a couple of years ago when there was a 6-block zone called the Chop Zone, where it was an anything goes mayhem. And by the way, there's so much political fallout in Seattle now that most of the city council is not running for re-election. They ended up with a very moderate Democrat as mayor and a Republican as the city attorney in Seattle because people got so fed up. And now most of the city council is not running for re-election because of the harsh backlash of their defund the police movement of allowing these anarchist groups to take over 6 city blocks. It's not good. Same thing is in Portland. 3/4 of the people who live in the Portland metropolitan area say it's too frightening to go downtown. 3/4. And the defund the police movement is dead. What is still a huge issue is the homeless situation. Because these city council people are physically afraid of the anarchists, physically afraid of the Democratic Socialists of America. They did show up at Tracy Park's house the other day. this is what they do. They show up at the homes of regular residents who get involved in trying to get the homeless out of the parks. And what could end this very quickly is a strong response from the mayor and LAPD. That would end things. And this is a test. You're going to see, that's why we call her Karen Bassetti. She's no different than Eric Garcetti. She's got to prove herself with something like this. If they take the fence down at Echo Park Lake, and then the homeless people come pouring back in, and they bring the tents, and they bring the garbage, they bring the drugs, the needles, the shopping carts, the huge bags of filth that they drag around, the bicycle parts. They do that, you're right back to March of 2021 again. Karen Bass, if she's really about making life better in L.A., should put a stop to it and get as many LAPD as possible to enforce it. Now, they came up with a solution. They put up a fence with relatively narrow openings, and they closed the fence at night. They closed the entries at night. So during the day, families, I know this sounds radical, but American families can enjoy the park with their children and relax and play. You know, the families that paid for the park with their taxes. Now, if Hugo Soto Martinez, this socialist, gets his way and takes down the fence, then the vagrants take over again, and the families are gone. Now, I think it's an easy choice, but what do I know? I seem to be not understanding what's going on in the world. Seems like nearly 100% of the public would say, hey, let's go with the parents and the families playing at the park and not with the vagrants. They need to go to... They need to go to some shelter, which we have plenty of, or they need to go to mental health or drug treatment. Now, they do have to get out of here. So this is a standoff. The Hugo Soto Martinez is one of these socialists that belongs to the DSA. So is Nithia Martinez and one more, a woman in the downtown region. And they staffed Mike Bonin's office. They're fighting Tracy Park. I mean, Nithia Raman is one of these Democratic socialists, and she's let four people die in like a one-block area, basically, of Sherman Oaks in the last couple of weeks. She lets them die. And they all have the same playbook where they don't respond to any phone calls or any emails. They will not talk to you if you find them in the street. They never answer any reporter questions. They just shut down. I don't know where they have their secret meetings where they decide which parks they're going to take over. I mean, this is what Bonin allowed on the West Side. Westchester Park was like this. And what caused Bonin to finally be forced to quit is when he was going to bring this into the wealthy Pacific Palisades area and take over Will Rogers State Beach, the parking lot, which is right up adjacent to the beach. And he was going to turn that into a homeless village. And that finally woke up all these sleepy fools on the West Side that this Democratic Socialists of America crowd are serious. They want to foul all the public space. They don't want you to use it. They don't want you to enjoy life in America because America is wrong. I don't care about your politics. What they talk about here is the very existence and legitimacy of the American way of life. And what they want to do is take away all the joy, all the order that we want. And even though we have the votes and we have the police on our side because of incredibly weak, foolish politicians like Garcetti and maybe Bass, got to say, this is the big test. If she lets that fence come down and the vagrants storm Echo Park Lake and all the regular taxpaying residents are forced out, then we'll know for sure what we have here. This is her test. And it's 2 months. And if I was Karen Bassetti, I would get on the case and keep this fence up forever because all the locals can get in there. It just keeps the homeless people out at night, which is the way an orderly society should be. It's what we all had. It's what we all want. And all these activists, they're very vocal, but they're a fringe element, and they're kind of crazy. If you're some snotty rich boy of a Hollywood executive, but you got the time and money to get involved in this kind of disruption, you know, obviously you're mentally unbalanced. You need like intense psychological therapy to deal with whatever your issues are from growing up rich and privileged. So we're going to be all over that. We got a lot coming up. Remember, Moistline, 1-877-MOIST-86. Put in the calls. We've had some vacancies. And next hour, we're also going to have another $1,000 to give away. Been a lot on the homeless today. Got one more story to give to you when we come back. Anita Chabria is this LA Times columnist. When we last heard from her, she had jumped on a raft to go visit the homeless on an island in the Sacramento River. I don't know if you remember us talking about that. Well, she's got another homeless column here that describes the Care Court is this new Newsom invention. And she has a column which is a great example of somebody who should have been in Care Court. But Care Court is kind of allows families to force homeless people into treatment. But there are some big loopholes. And as long as those loopholes exist, this whole thing may not work very well. And I'll explain it when we come back. There's a concept here which could work, but I'm reading about what the possible execution may be, and I don't know. Ken is away. Coming up at 3 o'clock, there is a new bill to repeal Prop 47. Apparently, most of the public would like 47 either destroyed or heavily amended. And we are going to talk with an Assemblyman, Juan Alanis, who's introduced a bill to dramatically change Prop 47, which is one of the worst laws that California voters ever passed. And I think most people have come to realize that everyone was fooled and ignorant of what that really did. Where's Vacaville? Is that how you say it?
Vacaville.
That's up in the Bay Area?
Yes.
There is a homeless person that was profiled in the LA Times today by Anita Chabria, who's another one of these progressive columnists. And she was last heard from taking a raft across the Sacramento River to go visit homeless people who live on this small island in the river. Who knows why? This column is a little bit better. She profiles James Mark Rippey. Rippey just died, homeless person, severe mental illness. For years, his sisters, Catherine and Linda, were begging politicians and bureaucrats and medical professionals to give James, their brother, help. In fact, they were on a public crusade for 16 years. And he's described James Rippey as the most famous homeless man in California. All the state and local legislators knew him, and the media wrote many articles about him. But in the end, it did no good. He never got the help he needed. Officially, he died of pneumonia and sepsis, organ failure. But his sister, Catherine Rippey Hansen, says the real cause is they could never get custody, conservancy. And this has been the fight that's been going on in California since 1967. Allowing family members, at the least, to get control of an adult who's in dire shape, physically ill, mentally ill, drug addicted. And you might think, well, who fights this? Well, it's these bizarre ACLU types. They call themselves civil libertarians. They have this extreme, absurd view that people should be 100% free to do whatever they want, even if it means dying in the street. Now, if you want to go out somewhere out there and die, go for it. You want to go in the forest, go in the desert, go on an island in the Sacramento River. But these people are dying in plain sight in front of us. And their families often want to save them. And if the families would be allowed a chance, these people would be saved because they're not in their right mind. They can't make a rational decision to care for themselves. And as Catherine, the sister, says, when did families lose the right to protect their loved ones? We were trying to keep him alive. And this has been going on for decades. Now, Gavin Newsom has a plan called a care court, which would get these families in front of a judge and order care. But now there's a lawsuit to block it. Disability rights and civil liberties groups. And yes, they know that the alternative is these people die in the streets suffering terribly, but these people don't care. This is the only plan out there. And really, there is no other way. Unless, if you have somebody whose brain is fried in some way, I mean, they may never come back, but the only chance is that you at least allow family members to put them into some kind of treatment program and see what happens. Or at the very least, don't have them piled up in the streets in front of us. Because in California, if someone like James Rippey doesn't want mental health care, even if they're in the middle of a deep psychosis, Anita Chabria writes, it's nearly impossible for family members to do anything. For a family member to stop someone in a deep psychosis from destroying themselves is considered a violation of civil rights, according to this crowd. And here are the organizations that stopped the two sisters of James Rippey and are trying to stop this Gavin Newsom bill, this program. The Disability Rights California, it's called. The Western Center on Law and Poverty and the Public Interest Law Project. Claiming that thousands of unhoused Californians with mental illness will be threatened with court orders, forced into involuntary treatment and swept off the streets. Not because they're a danger to themselves or others, because a judge has speculated they're likely to become so in the future. Well, of course they're a danger to themselves. Anybody living in the street in their own filth and waste, addicted to drugs, in the midst of psychosis. This poor guy was blind. He'd lost both his eyes and part of his frontal lobe in a motorcycle accident. He went flying into a grain harvester when he was 24 years old. And he spent the next 35 years on the streets, unable to see. Obviously, with a damaged frontal lobe, he couldn't function properly. He got hit by cars twice. He often slept in front of the county building. So the county employees who get paid to help him just walked by him and watched him suffer down below from their office windows. I mean... He said the sister said he was a mangled, broken man. His sister was his twin, Linda Privati. And people with schizophrenia, it's written here, are often last in line when it comes to getting help. The care court may do something about it. It's a one-year program, might be a two-year program. And if the person doesn't participate, they can be referred towards a conservatorship. And a conservatorship is the last chance. A family member now takes over your life and makes your decisions. And the civil rights crowd is saying, no, you can't have that. Well, now here's a guy who has a damaged frontal lobe and two eyes missing. He's laying in the streets dying of pneumonia and sepsis until his organs failed. And his sisters tried for 16 years to help him, and nobody in government would. And if somebody tried, these organizations would file a lawsuit to block the help. I can't imagine anything is sicker than that. Again, it's like the insane activists in Echo Park Lake that want to bring the vagrants back in and foul the park. It's these insane activists with these so-called civil rights organizations who would rather they all die in the street. That's what Nithya Raman allows to go on in Sherman Oaks. People to die. It's like a death cult. So now we have people in government, in the agencies, in office, and they're running a death cult. And then they're scolding everybody else for not being compassionate. I don't know. It seems like somewhere not too long ago, the world became inverted. Coming up again, Assemblyman Juan Alanis after 3 o'clock to talk about a possible repeal or at least major adjustment of Prop 47. He'll be on in a little bit. Ken is away today. And again, coming up after 3 o'clock, Juan Alanis is going to be on. He's an assemblyman and from Modesto, I think, isn't he? Yeah, he's from Modesto. Ah, you remember that? Scott Peterson, Gary Condit territory. Those good old days, huh? Juan Alanis is going to come on. He's got a bill to drastically reform Proposition 47, which is the root of a lot of evil in this state because, God, what did it do? It reduced the amount of stuff you can steal from a store. Remember, the minimum is $950. You can steal $950 worth of stuff from a store, and it's not a felony. And they won't even arrest you anymore for it. It's a misdemeanor. And even if by chance they arrested you and you got convicted, you don't get any jail time because it's only a six-month jail term. And in L.A. County, a six-month jail term or less means you don't go to jail. I'm not making any of this up. So really, you can go every day into a store and steal $950 worth of stuff and never get punished for it. And so why do you think we've had so much shoplifting going on, so much theft? Also, Prop 47 did something terrible, and it used to give prosecutors a tool, some leverage, where they would go to, you know, a guy with been accused of drug crimes and say, look, we'll either put you in jail or you go get treatment. And most of them would take treatment. Well, Prop 47 took away that bit of leverage the prosecutors had. So what do you think these people did? They stayed on drugs and they're living out in the streets. Those are some of the homeless people that you're dealing with. That was a terrible law. It was sold to the public as the Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act. Yes, that's an exact quote. The Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act. And a judge no longer had the ability to order drug rehabilitation programs rather than incarceration. Wow. So could all that be reversed by a Republican assemblyman's idea in a Democratic legislature? Most of the public is against Prop 47. We'll talk about that after 3 o'clock. Deborah, did you hear about the guy in Uganda? His name is Musa Asaya Kasera. He has 12 wives, 102 children.
How many grandchildren?
Glad you asked. 578 grandchildren. God. He's 68 years old, and only now he feels enough is enough.
How do you entertain 12 wives?
Yeah, I know.
At that age. I mean, not saying 68 is old, but it you're definitely not in your prime.
Why would you want to?
Well, I don't know. Why would you want to?
One wife can be exhausting.
Well, yes.
You know, as I'm sure your husband knows.
Yes, but then you have different wives for different reasons. And, yes.
One for just child production.
Exactly. Or maybe a few.
Yeah, 102.
Wow.
Don't these women run when he comes knocking at the door?
Well, maybe they're so excited to see him because it's their turn.
But they know they got 9 months now. They're going to be pregnant.
Ugh, I can't relate.
And the thing is, he doesn't even work enough to feed everybody. He says two of his wives have left because he couldn't afford food, clothing, and education.
Well, I don't blame them.
Well... Wait a second. If you're wife number 11, right?
Yeah.
And there's already like 92 kids in the family. Yeah. Wouldn't you say, no, I'll find someone else and, you know, start fresh.
Yeah. I mean, what is he doing to entice these women?
I don't know what he's got downstairs, boy.
Downstairs. Yes.
This is definitely a Pete Davidson situation.
He must be unusually gifted.
Mm-hmm.
He says his health is failing. Yeah, I bet it is.
So he wants all the wives to take care of him.
So, yeah, and they're running out. He married his first wife in 1972. When they were both 17, and his first child was born a year later. He doesn't know the names of all his children.
Well, I don't think I would know the names of all mine if I had 102.
102.
No way.
He can't even recall the names of some of his wives. He apparently has one son who keeps track of all this. And he needs a name of a child or a wife. His son, Shaban Magino, knows. He runs the family's affairs. He was educated. They have monthly family meetings to try to limit the disputes. The village is only 4,000 people. So he's about 12% of the whole village.
What a stud.
Yeah. That you can say.
Mm.
A lot of his family try to do chores for the rest of the neighborhoods, the rest of the neighbors in the village. They spend their days fetching firewood and water, traveling long distances on foot. That's all they do all day. The whole family.
The whole family.
Why am I hearing an echo of myself?
I have no idea. Oh, I hear an echo of myself, too.
Hello.
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 Hello. Oh, that's okay. It went away.
What was that?
Was creepy. I have no idea. I don't know.
Was that inside your head there?
That was inside your head.
Let's take a tour inside Deborah's head. Hello.
Oh, no,
hello.
That would be scary.
How are you? You.
Let's not.
I said that two of his wives have left him.
Yeah.
Another three moved to another town because of overcrowding.
Well, I mean, what does he have to offer these women?
Not much. He's not making any money anymore. His health's no good.
Right. So they're getting nothing.
He said his wives now take birth control.
Well, never mind.
He says, I have learned from my irresponsible act of producing so many children that I can't look after. This guy made 102 kids. And now he's saying he learned.
Well, he didn't know it. He didn't know about a condom.
No, he says my wives are on contraceptives, but I am not. So he never took any precautions. Used to be a cattle trader and a butcher, and so he had money and status in the village, and claims that villagers would offer their daughters to him. Some of them were under 18. And child marriage was not banned in Uganda until 1995. And polygamy is allowed under certain religious traditions. So the kids range from age 10 to 50. The youngest wife is about 35. That's pretty old for having 12 wives, right?
Yeah.
You'd think there'd be a 19-year-old in there. Most of his family lives in a rapidly dilapidating house.
How do they fit? How can he afford? I mean, I can't imagine it's a mansion like yours.
Hey, I saw the view you posted the other day. Okay. Little Miss Mountaintop.
I don't live on the west side.
Yes, but you live high in the mountains. He's got one house with a corrugated roof that is rusting away, and he has two dozen thatched mud huts nearby. So I guess maybe every wife gets her own mud hut.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, they can only feed the children once a day.
Oh, that's sad.
Or that's according to wife number three, Zabina. And if she had known he had other wives, she would not have agreed to marry him. And then he brought in the fourth and fifth wife, and then he had 12. And she's very upset.
Unbelievable.
I don't know. No wonder the guy's in bad health.
Oh, wait a second.
Well, you got 12.
You're going to blame the wives?
No, you got 12 wives that are unhappy with you.
Okay, well, just one husband who is God knows what.
What is his day like?
Well, in the day, I'm sure it was pretty fantastic for him.
Oh, I guess so. When he was 30 years old?
Yeah.
They couldn't get enough of him. All right, coming up, Juan Alanis, the assemblyman from Modesto, he's got an assembly bill that would lower the felony theft. The felony theft threshold. You say this.
Felony theft threshold.
Do it again. Do it like five times.
Felony theft threshold. Don't you ever make fun of me on the air again, John Cobalt.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.